Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast.
The world-renowned Brave Little Podcast, as featured in the Washington Post.
As featured in the Washington Post.
Don't look that up, guys. I know some of you are like...
Don't Google that. Yeah.
So the Washington Post has like some stuff that's behind a paywall, and that's where it is. So it's behind the paywall. Yeah, so unless you want to like pay a subscription, then you're never going to know whether that's right or not. So I don't suggest looking it up unless you got like $7.99.
Right.
Which,
well, I can
like any of you guys got that kind of money.
I can confirm that we are definitely referenced by Chad Ford in one of his ESPN articles. Got to be an insider.
That's right. And you got to be an insider so you can see how he changes his draft predictions every year after the draft's over. Chad, you're a scumbag.
I wouldn't.
I'm calling him out. And I'm not.
Are you going to call him out?
And I'm not talking about Chad Ford, the kid who's in the advertising program with us. The one who has
Yeah, I love that he has the same.
He's got like two ginger babies at home.
And they're both Mormon, which is terrific.
Wait, is Chad Ford the NBA guy who changes his things Mormon?
He not only is he Mormon, he's a professor at BYU Hawaii.
Tisk.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I know. I hope they took his temple recommend away.
It has been revoked.
All for changing his NBA draft predictions after they happened. That's a scummy thing to do. Like, it's a really unethical thing to do.
It is unethical. But if I made the amount of money that he likely makes in ESPN to do that, I might fudge some things as well,
dude.
Just gonna be.
You wouldn't fudge those things. Don't even.
No, nah, I wouldn't. There's that. No way, because the internet, you can't get away with that stuff.
No.
You're going to get called out forever.
Right.
But also, no, I wouldn't do it because I have, you know, integrity and honor. That would be the reason.
Don't lie about that either.
But, dude, Skylar, I've watched the Star Wars trailer 100 times. I can't stop.
Dude, I've watched it 4 or 5 times now, and I think that's all I'm going to be able to watch until it comes out. Because I don't want to, like, get too much out of it. Like, I see people who are analyzing every single second and reconstructing it.
Frame by frame.
They're trying to, like, reconstruct it. I think B-Mort did a version where he tried to do it, like, how it happened.
I
liked
his, though. He did pretty good. I mean, I think one part's out. One sequence, I think, is out of order. But what do I know?
But, like, here's the thing. I don't even want to know. Like,
okay.
I don't want to know. You hear that, B-Mort? I don't want to know. And B-Mort, can you get back on your podcast? Like, some of us want to hear you on your podcast.
Yeah, you know what? I listened. His podcast came out with another episode, and he wasn't on it.
I listened to the whole thing. It was all about comedy, which I'm embarrassed now that I'm admitting that I'm listening to the Happy Valley podcast.
Wait, why would you be embarrassed by that?
Because I'm. You know what? That's a good point. It's a point of pride to be like one of 5 people.
We're going to get killed for that one. They're going to kill us, and you know it.
I don't think there any of them are listening at this point. I know.
I know.
We know a couple
Jordan
of them.
Jordan and Alex for sure are not listening, but there's a chance B-Mort might be.
B-Mort's definitely listening, but he's like not even on the pod anymore, so he knows I love him. Dude, that podcast should have way more people listening to it. It's entertaining. Like, they do a good job.
It is entertaining, especially if B-Mort's on it. So, B-Mort, get back on that thing, okay? I mean, no disrespect to Alex or Jordan.
I did not listen.
But I do like.
I did not listen to Alex's solo stuff.
I didn't either, actually. I skipped that one. And I feel bad, but I just don't have a connection in terms of personal as much to him. I did see Alex perform live comedy, but Jordan, the dynamic of Jordan and Brian, I do enjoy. So, I get back on that, Mike.
Hey, as long as we're talking comedy for a minute, Amy Schumer, did you see the accusations against her?
Did,
which
and it involves Patrice O'Neal,
who is a dead person that you talked about on a podcast that I was not on.
I did. Did it kill you? I mean, it must have killed you when Aaron and I were paying the deepest of respects to Patrice O'Neal without being controversial or offensive at all.
I think there were like 4 deaths mentioned, and you guys like literally said like rest in peace. Like you guys, I think sent flowers to the family.
We did.
I heard some real nice things mentioned about like their surviving children and like. Maybe starting a college fund for them. And I was just like, man, let's just talk about the consequences that this will have on.
Wow. Well, you got it all out, it looks like.
God. You know what? I feel like I need to immediately apologize for everything I just said. Because, like, I do want to be a shocking disc jockey a little bit.
Yeah.
I believe right. That's the...
It's your shtick.
It's a fun shtick. But then you posted those pictures of the t-shirts.
Yeah.
But then there were some comments made by some people who were saying how much they enjoy this podcast and that they share it with their friends. And like they're like, yes. Hey, you like movies. You should listen to this podcast. And I started thinking that like people listen to this.
Yeah.
And people who probably...
Yeah, some people.
People who probably like... people who like don't want to like disrespect the dead. And they probably don't laugh at my Philip Seymour Hoffman jokes or like just... They probably find it offensive. But I think if nothing... If nothing else, it just makes them relate to you more. And they just see me as like this shocking disc jockey.
Maybe. And if I can be the relatable guy in this group, you know what? By all means, throw yourself under that bus. I'm happy to be the hero.
That's right.
Reluctantly, of course. I'll be the reluctant hero. Can we talk just a quick second before we really get into the Star Wars trailer about those t-shirts? Because it's certainly worth mentioning. I had no idea that there were t-shirts on their way. Brave little podcast t-shirts from our friends at dawnofthethread.com. We shouted them out in a few episodes back, and they added little headphones and a microphone to our Brave Little Podcast logo, printed up 5 t-shirts, sent them to my home. It was like Christmas. I open up this package, and there's all these t-shirts, and it looks amazing. And then I posted online, you know, giving them a shout-out, saying thanks, and people replied. People want giving me their sizes, mostly my family members, of course.
I did notice a lot of them did have the last name Stauffer. I thought that was kind of a coincidence.
Some of them are related. Some of them are not. Some of that is just a coincidence. But a couple people at least deserve some shout-outs, one of them being Ellie Murphy. Ellie, thank you so much. Apparently, she works at Disney. I'm not sure if it's Disneyland or Disney World, but somewhere where the Mouseketeeria is. And she just said some of the nicest things about our podcast and says that she even re-listens to some episodes, which really put a smile on my face to think someone would care about just us talking about movies.
She's the one that made me really rethink my whole position on being a shock jock
that's
podcast.
Good. You should, before you say things, you should think in your head. Like
somebody who's currently at the Disney cafeteria... Yeah. What is it called?
Exactly.
The
Mouseketeeria.
The Mouseketeeria.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is...
If... Yeah. Listening.
Yeah. And that...
So think of it this way. The words that are coming out of your mouth, think, A, would Ellie Murphy like to hear these words? And B, would... Like, just imagine your words are being broadcast over the intercom at the Mouseketeria, because they probably are. So, Mouseketeria kids, we love you. We're sorry about talking about Patrice O'Neill's dead body. So.
Can we go ahead and just like bleep out everything I've said so far? Like, just give a nice subtle little bleep.
Yeah,
I think I'm just gonna like I'm a new man from here on out. I'm gonna be the nice guy now. And you know what? It might hurt your likability ratings.
Yeah, it will.
But I think it'll be worth it for the good of the pod.
Okay. Okay. So yesterday, well, let's start things off here. We're here to talk about Back to the Future because.
Today is the day.
Today is
the day. We're in the future.
October 21st, 2015. This is Back to the Future Day. After many Facebook misdirects from people thinking it was on a different day, we're finally at the actual day.
This officially, like, those won't happen anymore, right? Like, people aren't so stupid. Yeah. Like, if you thought it was October 10th, 2012, you're an idiot. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
You're just not a fan. You're not a fan enough to post that image. To celebrate, right? Like, come on.
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
At the very least, remember that it was 2015.
Wait, right? Like, it's 1985 least. To 2015. Yeah. Like, yes. It's 30 years.
Right.
Come on.
But
what year were you born, David?
I was born in 1987.
Oh, okay. You were born in 87?
Yeah.
I thought you were older than that.
Yeah, it changes. I switch it up every time. I answer that question differently every time someone asks.
That's a really good way of keeping people guessing.
Yeah. Sometimes they say 86. Sometimes they say 85. Sometimes 88.
Smart.
Anyway, we're going to talk Back to the Future and all that stuff. But yesterday, the third and final Star Wars trailer premiered. So we got to talk about that first.
Yes.
and then we'll get to the Back to the Future stuff. But it aired on Monday Night Football. Did you watch the broadcast? Did you actually watch it?
I didn't, because I'm just on Watch ESPN, and I assumed they wouldn't have the commercial.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I think you assumed correctly. I watched it. I had to sit through one terrible half of football by two bumbling football franchises, but I got to it.
Ugh, so much bad football being played in the NFC East this year.
Not good. Not good. Anyway, look. We've talked about this before, but the marketing campaign for this film has, you know, been a complete masterclass showcase of marketing. This trailer.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it. The dark side. A Jedi.
So you asked me a question. Your initial reaction was, is this going to take out Avatar?
Is it going to cross the $2.7 billion mark?
That's the question.
Because we've seen in the last couple, like in the last year, we've seen the number three film of all time, which was Jurassic World.
Yep.
This is just total gross. And then we've seen the number five film of all time. This is worldwide gross. Furious 7. Which,
oh my gosh, that's right.
So just to put it into perspective of how easy it is now to make $1 billion, Furious 7 made $1 billion worldwide. So, I mean,
yeah.
To me, there's no question that this gets to 3 billion. Like,
oh, wow. Okay. So no question takes that. The thing about Avatar is that it had legs that no one expected.
Oh, and I don't disagree with that. Like, it definitely had crazy legs, which is why a film like Jurassic World couldn't catch it. Because Jurassic World only had so much repeat watchability.
Right.
But I think this movie will have legs, Avatar-like legs. But it's going to do it so much faster.
Yeah, it'll get there. It'll get there. I mean, look, I was online buying my tickets yesterday the second they were available, and Fandango's servers just melted.
Right.
Immediately melted. They never stood a chance.
Have they released the numbers yet on that?
Yeah, they just did. They said it's outpacing It's outpacing Hunger Games pre-sale, I think, by 8 times or something like that.
That's disappointing. It seems like it should be way more than that.
No, it might be. It might not be that. It might be it's surpassing the Fandango record leader. The current record holder was like Fandango, the current record holder on Fandango is Hunger Games, one of them.
Right.
And it's like outpacing that by 8 times when it, you know, something like that. It's just destroying the records. I don't know if they released any actual numerical, you know, dollar signs or dollar figures, excuse me, to the pre-sale numbers. But, dude, I was on Fandango. It crashed immediately. I jumped on Megaplex.com because that's the theater chain in Utah that I was trying to catch, and their servers just were toast. And Cinemark was hanging by a thread. Now, I could jump on the app and try and get them, but, like, theaters were selling out in seconds.
Yep.
And so I get on Cinemark. I was able to get one of the big XD theaters right in the middle. I bought 9 tickets for friends and family that were going to be joining me. And I got them just in time. But, dude, everything's sold out now. Everything in every theater here, opening day is gone.
Yep, same here.
Or the opening evening, it's gone.
Which, I'm probably not going to see it opening evening. Like, I'm not going to, because I'm not going to get into the aftermarket. Like, have you seen this, that people are trying to sell their tickets now in an aftermarket?
No way.
On eBay and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I haven't heard if anything's actually sold, but I've seen people have put up their tickets for like $100, which I don't think there's anybody stupid enough to do that, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I would hope not. But
anyway, this movie's going to make so much money. I think it's the first film since Avatar that has the capacity to do this. Like, has a real chance.
It's crazy that Avatar could do that, especially when Avatar wasn't good. That's
so
bad. The amazing part.
Although, like, Phantom Menace made a ton of money and it wasn't good, and Clone Wars made a ton of money and it wasn't good, and Revenge of the Sith made a ton of money.
Or Attack of the Clones, you mean, right? Not Clone Wars. Because Clone Wars didn't make a ton of money.
But Clone Wars is actually decent. I take that back. Clone Wars is good. The cartoon series?
Yeah. But it didn't kill at the box office.
No, it had no box office. It was on Adult Swim or Cartoon Network.
No, yeah, the first film, there's a film, Clone Wars film, that released theatrically.
Really?
It was like an hour and a half episode, essentially, that started one of the seasons. Okay. They released in theaters.
Well, that's the thing. They overcomplicated the cartoon Star Wars anthology. Like,
yeah, it's true.
There was so much going on. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Can we not do a total deep dive in the trailer? But I'm going to mention a couple things. Because I was emotional watching this thing. It was the music alone was, I mean, totally set me off. The thing is we've talked about the hype being at a fever pitch, and it just continues to top itself. And I really haven't felt like this about a movie since The Phantom Menace. And that's the reality of it. I'll never forget plugging in my 56K modem at my house. We had like unplugged the phone, like, and hide it from my mom, hoping she wouldn't try to make any phone calls so we could plug into the internet. And my brother pulled up the poster of Jake Lloyd as Anakin with the shadow of Darth Vader. And I lost my mind. Like, I was so excited. That moment of just like, oh my gosh, that's Anakin. It's Darth Vader. The movie's coming out. I was freaking out.
Right.
And then I remember seeing the first trailer for The Phantom Menace, and similar to now, just absolutely losing my mind. So that's what makes me so nervous, even though I know that there's no way these could be as bad as, you know, the prequels.
Right.
I haven't been this hyped about a movie since then.
Expectations are so high at this point.
It's too high, man. It's way too high. But look, they're following the template from A New Hope, which is the smartest way to do this. But the trailer is amazing because it told us nothing about the actual plot of the movie,
right,
other than giving us a little bit more background on a couple characters. But like, it really is a New Hope template in the sense, you know, we have this the abandoned hero on a desert planet. Something crash lands on that desert planet and changes everything. The Jedi and the Force and all that stuff is like just a myth, and you know, not people don't actually believe it's reality.
Right.
You have like a Darth Vader character. You have a Grand Moff Tarkin character in General Hux, even though he wasn't in the trailer.
He was.
You have a new Death Star.
He was in the trailer. He was up on the stand. You just couldn't see him.
Yeah. Very far in the distance.
Right.
You got that new Death Star on the poster. I mean, this is like...
I'm not excited about how that Death Star looks, by the way. I feel like it kind of looks like
Seems like an awfully wide trench, if you ask me, but...
They did not learn their lesson. I mean, they made things much worse.
No. Yeah, you could definitely fit the Millennium Falcon through that trench, so we'll see. Yeah, the moment for me was Han Solo talking about the realness of the Jedi and the Force. You know, the whole coming full circle from A New Hope when it was all just like ancient hocus pocus, whatever religion to him. That was the moment for me. That was the Chewie we're home moment. This is one thing to be excited about. We officially know for sure that J.J. Abrams got at least one good scene out of Carrie Fisher.
We don't know that for sure, man. She's looking rough.
But she looked good in that. She looked good enough. Like, it eased my concerns, that hug with Han Solo. It's like, oh, they're able to do at least some correctiveness to her, at least her image, right? Like, because they knew they were going to have to do a lot to it, especially her voice, which, by the way, that is her voice at the end, right?
I have no idea. It could be.
I'm pretty sure it is. There's some debate about.
And we did not. Talking. We didn't see Luke, right?
We did not, other than the same shot we saw where he puts his hand on R2-D2 from behind.
Right. Dude, I'm worried. Like, have people seen shots of him on set or anything like that?
So, yes. There's one leaked shot of him in his costume.
Is he wearing a beard?
On set. I don't know if people want me to give spoilers. I did see the photo. They've had his image and his view, like, totally under wraps. So, for the sake of spoilers, I won't say anything about how he looks.
I'm Googling it.
Okay, you go ahead and Google it. But I will say this. Clearly, there's a reason why Luke's not in any of the materials. He's not on the poster. We haven't seen his face. It leads me to believe that the plot of this movie is going to revolve around finding Luke, about where he is, what he's doing. I think that the significance of the plot revolves around that. Obviously, we don't know anything about the plot other than a stormtrooper crash lands on a desert planet with this girl, and they somehow get out of there on the Millennium Falcon, and that's it.
Yeah.
Best shot of the trailer, though, for me was that shot of Oscar Isaac, Poe, getting out of that X-Wing, going underneath and giving him that pat, you know, to Finn as he walks by. Unbelievable.
That was an amazing moment.
It's unbelievable. Aside from the fact that Oscar Isaac's one of my favorite actors, and he is the perfect look for the Star Wars universe, and it's a slam dunk cast, just that look he gives him of, like, you know that something happened. Like, they've been through crap up to that point in the movie. Like, they've had some experience together that we haven't seen and we know nothing of, you know, and just that knowing look he gives him as he kind of pats him as he walks by, that friendly smirk. And you're just like, and then the camera turns and you just see all these X-Wing pilot dudes in their get up, just kind of jog into their ships. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's the best shot in the trailer. It got me so hyped.
Oh yeah.
Have
we talked about the amount of, like, fan service versus, like, nostalgia play versus, like, how much of this is them, like, can there be too much fan service? Could it be possibly that they're overdoing it? Like,
well, I think, because George Lucas was so not interested in fan service, but not just not interested in it, but also wanted to go the complete opposite way, like do a disservice. He was into fan disservice.
Like how he would use Jabba, or not Jabba, what the heck was his name?
Jar Jar?
Jar Jar.
Well, yeah. Putting Hayden Christensen in the Anakin ghost in Return of the Jedi was like the biggest middle finger to every Star Wars fan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was him being like, I can meddle with my movies. I can do whatever I want.
Right. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, Jar Jar looks at camera in the second movie just as like a, hey, fans, you didn't like Jar Jar? Here's more Jar Jar. And he's looking right at you like, I'm in control here. This is my world.
Jaren made that point on the Attack of the Pod episode where he says that he makes Jar Jar a politician, you know?
Oh, yeah. Jar Jar declares the Clone Wars. Like, he's the one who starts that. Like, what a joke.
Total joke. Total joke. Oh, it's such a joke.
Well played, Lucas.
One more thing about J.J. Abrams, though, because we know he's been keeping this all under wraps, and it's amazing that the trailer didn't leak before halftime. But he's obviously huge on reveals and secrets and spoilers. Like, I'm convinced there is an enormous reveal of some kind that we don't have a clue about at this point, because everyone's guessing. Like, they think that girl must be a Skywalker or a Solo or something, the Rey character. Although I feel like that's way too obvious. People are making all these crazy predictions. And I think it's going to be something that we don't see coming, that we have no idea. I will say this, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but we know Adam Driver plays Kylo Ren.
Right.
We've seen him on set. We've seen images of him with the helmet off. He's on set. He's filming that stuff. But people, now there's like growing of chorus of voices saying that people think that Adam Driver is just a pawn casting, and that it's actually Luke Skywalker under that helmet.
Well, I've seen, multiple theories about Luke being
tons
the Sith Lord.
Right. About being Kylo Ren specifically. Now, I was thinking in my head, like, would you really trot Adam Driver out there for all this, for like Comic-Con and for the press rounds, just so he can just hang and chill to hide the fact it's Luke Skywalker? And in my head, I think that's crazy, until I remember that Star Trek Into Darkness, him and Benedict Cumberbatch lied in every single interview when everyone knew that Benedict Cumberbatch was Khan. And he essentially told Benedict, like, we're going to lie. Keep lying. Every time someone asks, we're going to keep lying. To the point that when the reveal came, everyone was just kind of frustrated, because it was like, we all knew this anyway, and you lied so much to try to keep this reveal, and it kind of didn't work because of that. I think he's willing to go to any length, so I wouldn't put anything past him. I don't think Kylo Ren is Luke Skywalker. I definitely do not subscribe to that theory, but I wouldn't put it past him to do something as crazy as announce a casting and have someone even on set when in reality they're not playing that character, someone else is.
I actually wouldn't be mad if he did that, just because Adam Driver deserves it.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. Actually, honestly, I wouldn't mind Adam Driver not being in the Star Wars trilogy.
No joke.
Thankfully, Oscar Isaac is there to kind of counterbalance, like, a great casting. Cast, you know. Great casting decision to offset the bad one. But
right, and
everyone else seems to be pretty good.
I just don't like Adam Driver because he's in Girls, and I just don't like Girls because
you don't like Lena Dunham.
And I don't like Lena Dunham, and I just don't like Lena Dunham because people think she's the voice of our generation, and I just find her
people
grating.
Think that, or she thinks that.
I've heard, like, I saw a statement that was attributed to her, then I've had people tell me that that's actually not how she feels, but whatever. Like, she annoys me.
She's done some major backtracking on that. Yeah. Anyway, man, I am beyond pumped for it, needless to say. So, anyway, any other thoughts on the Celery Show from you? Are you as hyped as I am, or maybe just a little less?
I'm trying to keep expectations somewhat balanced, because...
Tempered.
Yeah, I'm really... I'm not nervous it's not going to be good, but I'm nervous that my expectations will go in so high that it won't be able to reach them. Like, even if it's a really quality movie, it just won't be as much as I want. And, like, yeah. The best movie experiences I've had in the last couple of years were when I go into a movie with moderate expectations and I'm floored, mm-hmm. or I go into a movie with no expectations. Like, I got to go to a pre-screening of Live, Die, Repeat, and so I hadn't seen anything written about it. There were no reviews out, and I just went in, sat down, and saw the movie, and just really, really, really had a great time. And I think going in with no expectations and then just being completely blown away with it, like, that's... I wish I could have that experience with the Star Wars movie. Like, I wish I could walk into this thing without having seen a trailer or anything, but without that being a possibility, I think it's going to be pretty great.
You know, I tried to resist it because of the lessons learned from The Phantom Menace, but I got caught up in the wave, dude, and there's no coming down. I mean, I'm riding this thing till it comes out, and I'm either going to crash hard, you know, or I'll be really pleased. I mean, I don't know. There's no way I think it could exceed expectations. If it could get remotely close to meeting them, you know, then I'll be pumped. So.
Yeah. We'll see.
But we will see. We got two more months to wait.
No joke. So long.
So I'll be recording, by the way, the Revenge of the Sith pod with my two brothers, actually. It's going to be a three-person pod for that episode.
Is that the first time for us?
It is. It's a first. Yep.
And you can have me come on, and I'm sure I can give you some encouragement.
Maybe you'll call in if you got a take at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing that pretty soon here. I'm also going to do a Goose Pods episode. I'm considering bringing on my two nephews that I saw it with, age 8 and 5, to get kind of get their review of Goosebumps. Also would be a first on our podcast. It might be a 10-minute episode.
We might start doing like a PG version of the cast that people can listen to and just really enjoy. Or a G-rated version.
And then on Thursday, I'm seeing Steve Jobs, and we'll be doing a Steve Pods episode. So I'm definitely looking forward to that movie, actually. So that's kind of future episodes coming at you. But now, it is October 21st, 2015. The day of the future.
We made it.
My sports almanac. I'm ready to go. Back to the future.
Man. How crazy is it that the Cubs were almost going to win the World Series this year? Like, that would have been one of the greatest stories to ever happen. But
would it have been?
Oh, for them to win the World Series the year that Back to the Future made, like, a joke prediction that they would win the World Series...
I mean, I love the idea of that Robert Zemeckis made a movie 30 years ago that accurately predicted the Cubs finally winning. At the same time, though, I'm gonna be honest. I watched 30 for 30. I should say rewatched the 30 for 30.
The Bartman
hell. Yeah, dude. I'm sorry, Cubs fans. You do not deserve to win a World Series ever.
No.
Fan base, but those people in that stadium. They're among your fan base. They're a part of who you are. And they were the worst people. They were the worst people. People were like, the way they, people wanted to kill him. That guy was going to die. For doing something that literally had no effect on the game. Like, when there were 1,000 other things that went wrong. Oh my gosh.
Dude, I don't know.
Moises Alou. I wish I could go back in time, but hey, Moises, could you maybe not throw a hissy fit when a fan, you know, touches the ball? Because that's what kicked it off. Moises Alou is more at fault than Bartman. Poor guy. The guy still hasn't resurfaced. Still won't come out.
Yeah, but it's kind of his fault.
No, no, it's not his fault. There were
it's kind of his
six
fault.
To eight people going for that ball. He just happened to have the most recognizable outfit with a turtleneck and headphones, and he looked like the type of guy that you'd want to be your scapegoat.
And he did get the ball, like.
No, he didn't.
Well, I mean, he hit it. Like, did he not knock it down?
I mean, he touched it. Many people did. But yeah, he had the most clear shot of him touching it. Of course, someone else got the ball. There were so many. If we're going to, like, blame people on that play, there were so many people to blame.
Well, we're not here to talk about Steve Bartman. We're here to talk about.
Are we not? Is it not the Bartman pod or no?
No. Let's quickly go to an alternate universe where Eric Stoltz played Marty McFly. And in that alternate universe, today would not be a significant day at all, because there would have been no Back to the Future 2. There would have been no trip to 2015. We would never know about Jaws 19. We wouldn't know about any of these things, because it would have never happened, because the first film would have been an abject disaster. And people would have watched a movie with a main character that had no charisma and no reason to love him. And despite Back to the Future being one of the greatest films ever made, I think Eric Stoltz could have single-handedly ruined the whole thing.
Oh, totally. Now, for people who don't know what we're talking about, Robert Zemeckis cast an actor named Eric Stoltz over Michael J. Fox for the part of Marty McFly.
I believe Michael J. Fox had the offer for the part, but he was working on a sitcom at the time, and there was a scheduling conflict. So Michael J. Fox chose to work on the sitcom instead of coming out to shoot.
Oh, okay.
My understanding of the story is that, so they start shooting, they shoot for weeks, very expensive thing to do.
Far into production.
Right. And then they realized it was not working with Eric Stoltz. They got on the phone with Michael J. Fox. He was done shooting the sitcom at this point and came out and did it. And the rest is history.
Well, apparently Eric Stoltz, they had gotten really far. And I just think to have the guts to be able to say someone's not working and to totally restart from scratch, set up the same scenes to have to refilm, to ask a crew and a cast to do that, it takes a lot of guts.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently, Eric Stoltz was like very like humorless, and they needed someone that could pull off like the fun-loving kind of comedic tone that Marty McFly needed to convey.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude was a method actor who refused to be referred to as Marty on set. I guess the famous, as the story goes, when they told Christopher Lloyd about the change, how Eric Stoltz had been essentially fired and they're going to bring in Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd was like, "Eric who?" And they're like, "Eric Stoltz, the guy playing Marty." And I guess Christopher Lloyd said, "Oh, I thought his name was actually Marty." Dude, and that was all he ever said about it.
I'm just like, so if you Google these pictures of Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly, there's a few out there. He had a different costume. He doesn't have the classic vest that we know to be Marty McFly. Like, he's wearing this dumb-looking jacket. He just doesn't have the on-screen, like, just total charisma that Michael J. Fox had that just is unreplaceable. And, like, I can't even imagine how that movie would have just been so inferior. Like, it's crazy to think. And here's the second part. As I'm looking at these pictures, Christopher Lloyd was an old man when they made this movie 30 years ago. And he's still alive.
Yeah.
Like, I just saw a commercial that he did with Michael J. Fox. And, like, 30 years later, Christopher Lloyd is looking better than Michael J. Fox looks now. Like, it's insane. He was an old man then, and he's now just, like, a slightly older man after 30 years.
Yeah, it's true. There's no way to explain this. There's been 30 years since those movies, and he's only slightly older. What?
There's no sort of explanation that can be given by science. I mean, he could be like, I don't know, is he like a daywalker? Is he some sort of like, did he sell his soul to the devil? Like, I want to know what's going on with Christopher Lloyd. And all jokes aside,
it's true.
He should probably be, we should all probably be waiting for the announcement of Christopher Lloyd. That'll be a real sad day. Like,
when he dies?
Yeah. Like, we're not far from it. Yeah. And he's so great. Like, it'll be really sad. But as far as Eric Stoltz goes, he was in a movie called Mask, which you guys would probably, you know, like, smoking. Not that movie. He was in a movie where he looks like the Elephant Man.
They replaced him halfway through the production with Jim Carrey.
Well, yeah. They had him start off, if you just Google Eric Stoltz Mask, you're going to have a good giggle. And, man, Eric Stoltz, what a tough life. Anyway. Oh,
poor guy. I mean, that's got to be rough, right?
Oh, there's no recovering from something like that. And
there wasn't for him.
Right. And then to have everybody see that movie and tell you, like, yeah, they made a really good choice. Like, that was awesome. He was way better. Yeah. But, yeah.
So Michael J. Fox, much better. But the cast across the board, Leah Thompson, we got Crispin Glover before he went over the edge.
Dude, I think that's why Crispin works. He was over the edge. Somehow found a way to focus it all.
I think you're right. I think he was already over the edge. But we never had another meaningful performance from him after the first
take minute. That back. Charlie's Angels.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Okay, Charlie's Angels. But even the guy who plays Biff Tannen, Thomas Wilson.
He's not acting anymore. Like, he's just a guy.
Stand-up.
Yep. It's
he has this... yep.
Yeah, his stand-up revolves around being Biff Tanner, too. Like, it's...
Well, apparently I looked this up because I kept hearing the story about how he gets approached so much by people about being Biff. And people ask him all these questions, and they're all the same questions. Oh. He, like, printed up a business card that answered all of the questions.
He even has a song that he sings as part of his stand-up act where
it's hilarious.
He sings all the questions he asks, and then, yeah... It's like, wonderful.
I won't read the whole thing. I'll read the first couple sentences because it's hilarious. But he hands people a card as they start asking him questions. And it says, I'm Tom Wilson. I was in all three Back to the Future movies. Michael J. Fox is nice. I'm not in close contact with him. Christopher Lloyd is nice. He is a very shy man. Crispin Glover is unusual, but not as unusual as he sometimes presents himself. We got along nicely.
Was the manure real?
yeah, I know.
No, seriously.
I love the fact that dude just has to live with being Biff forever because he didn't keep making movies. That's all. I mean, he doesn't have anything else. Not that anything would have overshadowed it, but it might have helped. But that's all he's got. That's his credit, right? I mean, he's Biff
forever and ever.
Well, the way I wanted to approach the Back to the Future though is I did want to list our top three Back to the Future films.
Which, because, it's not an easy thing to do. Like, I mean, they're so different from each other.
Like, so it's pretty easy for me, but I think less easy for you.
Right. Well, we've talked a little bit about this before coming on the air, but...
Yeah.
So you have three films that I could say are each in almost a different genre. Like...
Yeah.
And they are each attempting to do very different things. And they both take risks that the other two did not take. And, like, so it's hard to, it's kind of hard to judge them against each other when they're both, like, all three are fantastic. I love all three. I could watch all three at any moment. Like, I've seen all three a ton.
Yeah.
And so we can go through it. Like, do you want to start with your number three?
So,
or
yeah, I mean, so I'll... Yeah, the three for me is easy. I mean, it's the third one. So I go in order. I go 1, 2, 3. I think they, got progressively worse, even if I didn't always view them that way throughout my life. I think the third one is actually like a decent amount below this number two. I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's like The Godfather 3 of the trilogy or anything like that. I think it's still a respectable movie. I would totally watch it if it was on TV, and I definitely get a certain amount of enjoyment out of it. But it was never one that held up as to me, or was as watchable to me as 1 and 2. And maybe that has to do with the fact that I'm not like a huge Western genre type of person. So I guess I didn't care to see blood characters in that setting, but you like it a lot more than me.
Right.
So
for me, but the second one's my third favorite. Like,
okay.
And I love the second one. I think it's a great movie. It's really watchable. It's funny. Like, it has an interesting view on the future. Like I said, it tries to do different things from the first movie. It takes risks in how it approaches just like the interweaving with the original timeline. And like, it does some cool things that weren't like, hadn't been done in a ton of movies. And so for that reason, I really like the second movie, but I like the third movie more. Like, I love the Western motif. I think it's really fun to see this character in this sort of fish out of water situation where, like, he's such an outsider in this old West town. And it's kind of fun because it feels like an old Hollywood, old West. Like, none of it feels, like, really authentic or, like, that this was a city that's been sitting there for so long. You feel that's like you're true. On a movie studio set. Like,
yeah, it's the Universal backlot. It feels like Universal backlot.
And I love that. Like, I think there's something fun about it. It feels like old Hollywood. And,
yeah,
like, just having a DeLorean getting pushed by a train. It's such an easy, watchable movie. I could watch it 100 times. You get Mary Steenburgen, who is a firecracker in this movie. Like, she's looking great. You get a time-traveling train. You get a lot more Christopher Lloyd, like, doing great Christopher Lloyd things. Like, he's fantastic in 3. Like, I really enjoy, like, just him in his element in the Old West. And really enjoying himself.
He's got more screen time in that one than the other two.
Right. And then Michael J. Fox just does a really great job of, like, he gets to play the fish out of water in all 3 when he goes back to 55 or when he goes to 2015. But I think in 1885, he's just spectacular. Like, I think he does such a great job of, like, I just love the Western motif. I love that whole genre, and I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, I think that must be the key difference for us because, and like I said, I do like the film, but growing up and even now, I'm way more interested in going to the future than going to the past again and even further back, you know, than the first one, because the future to me is a huge unknown. Like, we obviously know something about the 1950s and about the Westerns and whatnot, but, like, I loved Robert Zemeckis and the team's vision of what 2015 would look like. Now, as a kid, Back to the Future 2 was easily my favorite. That's the only, I mean, if I had to pop the Back to the Future movie, it was going to be number 2 every time. I still love the first one. I still like the third one, but number 2 had the hoverboards. It had all the futuristic stuff, the 3D shark. I loved everything about that. Now, of course, I cared way more about that than the convoluted plot that it watching now is clearly very convoluted. I totally got tricked by an upside down Crispin Glover lookalike because he's not in that movie and they ended up getting sued for having someone in there like with his likeness because he refused. He guess he wanted a ton of money to be in it. But
right.
Yeah. So the second one, I love the idea of going to the future. I wish it didn't get so nuts with everything else, but the alternative storyline to me as a kid was one of the scariest things I'd ever seen in a movie. It was like super dark to see Marty's mom married to Biff.
Dude, that is a super dark. It's like world dark. That they live in. Yeah.
No, that was dark. It was scary. Like I remember being so scared watching, you know, that section of the movie, but, at the same time, I love it. I think it's so much fun, but, obviously number 1 is both of our top ones.
Well, it's not just the best movie of this franchise.
It's not close. I mean,
you could argue that it's one of the greatest movies ever made of all time.
Yeah. Yes, you could. Yep.
I think it's easily in my top 5 favorite movies ever made. And
I'm wondering why is that? Because I had mentioned to you previously that if someone were to argue to me that Back to the Future, the first one, is the greatest film of all time, I wouldn't have a good rebuttal. Even though I would never say it's my number one necessarily, it's as close to a perfect movie as you can get. Like, and it's definitely one of the most rewatchable movie, I think. I mean, I could watch it any time of the day, any day of the week, pop that movie in, and I'm going to watch it till the end. I mean, it's
right.
So rewatchable.
It's such a complete film. Like, it's a masterpiece of filmmaking. It should be taught in classes. Like, see, Back to the Future is the reason that I'm not, like, your classical film fan. Like, you have a lot of people who are like, oh, you have to look at the classics. You have to, like, Rosebud and all this crap. Like, Casablanca. It's just filmmaking as fine. Like, I get that they were innovators, but Casablanca does not hold a candle to Back to the Future as far as making a film goes. Like, we're talking about a complete plot, a complete story arc for each character. Like, we see our characters progress. We see our characters have flaws. We see, like, oh, man, the The writing is really solid. The directing's great. It takes risks that movies weren't taking at the time. It innovates in a lot of ways. It didn't try and overdo the effects. Like, the way it presents time travel is understandable. Like, it does a great job of explaining time travel to, like, an audience without having to dumb it down for us or, like, over-explain it. The performances in the movie are great. Like, it's just, like, I can't tell you a movie that's better than this movie. Like, I may not put it number one on my list, but it's not because it's, like, there are movies that are better than it. It's just that I couldn't necessarily tell you, like, it's a perfect movie. Like, there's nothing I would change about this movie. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And for that reason, like, it's just one of the greatest of all time. And Casablanca sucks. And, like, there's just, you can't outdo Back to the Future. Like, Michael J. Fox, this is the greatest thing he'll create in his life. Like, Robert Zemeckis, it's the same thing. Like, this is just, it was all the best things that could happen. Like, it was all the best case scenarios with every decision they made. And it all worked out perfectly. And it's just, it's a thing of beauty.
It really is. It was the perfect mixture of casting, of writing, of directing, of art design, of all of it. It worked so well, and like, all the reasons you had mentioned. It's a very simple, easy to digest storyline that had real stakes, because if he wasn't going to get his parents to fall in love, he wasn't going to exist.
Right. It's a small story. It's not a big story. Yeah. It's pretty small. Nope. Like, and it's all very comprehensible. And
it's funny. And it's funny.
Oh, there's like, so much humor to it. And that's, you can give a lot of that to Michael J. Fox and just like what he brought to his character. And like, there's some pretty heavy stuff to it. Like, just the incestuous humor is pretty freaking hilarious. Like, the fact that they're willing to go there and make jokes about it is fantastic. And like, just, oh man, I love this movie. Michael J. Fox is great. I mean, even the DeLorean was like the perfect car for this. Like, I can't imagine any other car that they would have chosen that. Because the DeLorean, even in 2015, feels like a futuristic car.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, because it never became a hugely popular car, and, like, it was never mass-produced, like, it just has this kind of, like, futuristic appeal to it that it will have forever. And it's really cool.
They picked a car that had this gimmicky way of opening the doors, like Lamborghinis, right? Even though it wasn't a high-luxury car like a Lamborghini.
Right.
The company goes bankrupt, right? And it becomes this iconic car because you don't ever see them anywhere, and it's forever the Back to the Future car. Like, imagine if they did a Honda Civic. It just would have never, you know, like, it just, I think they got really lucky with everything that happened with the DeLorean company's fate. I don't recall if it had been bankrupt by the time they had filmed that or not, but it worked.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
I wish there was, like, some sort of way we could look that up.
But I wish there was a way we could look that up and
find
out.
But
there's not.
No.
There's not.
Sorry, guys.
They went bankrupt before the internet, so can't know.
Man, could you imagine living before the internet? Those suckers.
Well, yeah, dude. Just watch Back to the Future. You can see it.
Dude, this movie. I just want to go watch it right now.
I'm going to. You have talked me into it. I've talked myself into
it. If you guys don't own it, Amazon Prime is streaming. A lot of movie theaters are showing the movies tomorrow night, so check your local listings.
Yes, they are. A lot of theaters are showing it both Wednesday and Thursday, in case you forget, Wednesday being today. And so, seriously.
Oh, did I say tomorrow?
Cineplex. Well, I'm saying today because it's releasing
tomorrow. Right, well, we're breaking up the illusion. We're definitely recording today, the 21st.
Yeah, we have to record on the date. Yeah, seriously, go see it. Go to the theaters, go see it. My wife was not raised in like a big movie watching family. The complete opposite of me. We watched movies constantly, and we got married, and we were like a year into marriage until I found out she had never seen the Back to the Future movies, and I didn't believe her. She was like insisting, and I totally didn't believe her because I thought it was impossible.
That's impossible.
So, that's impossible. And so we watched them together, and of course she loved them. Like, you know, it's not just nostalgic. It's not, we remember watching them as we grew up as kids. Even now today, someone's very first time watching it, it's still going to be outstanding. A movie made in 1985 is going to be outstanding.
They're timeless.
So
these are timeless movies.
Totally. Totally.
Get everyone, you know, so find your like nieces and nephews who are too young to have seen this thing the first time around. Get them to watch it. This is a timeless movie. Well,
My sister was telling me their 8-year-old, he was starting to ask his parents time travel questions. Like it was like troubling to him. Like he's like, wait a second, mom, dad, if I were to go into the future and change something, would that change what's going on now? Or if I went to he started asking all these questions.
No, like, if you go to the future, it's not going to change the past.
Well, if he came back to the past, right? And then, but you know, he's an 8-year-old asking these questions, right? And then he asks about if he goes into the past and changes things, how much will that change the future?
Well, yeah, dude.
And apparently my sister, she looked at her husband and they, instead of launching into some big explanation, they just sat him down and popped in Back to the Future. That was their lesson to him on time travel. And he loved it. He loved the movie. And it explained time travel simply enough that he understood the concepts and got to watch one of the best movies of all time in the process. So
that was smart all around.
All around. Why bother re-explaining something that Robert Zemeckis has already done, already explained?
Right.
Just it's there. Let him do his job. Anyway, I'm glad we did this. Back to the Future is too good of a movie, and this is too important of a date to have passed it over.
I agree. Happy October 21st, 2015. For now on,
yes.
When you watch Back to the Future 2, you'll be watching a movie that takes place entirely in the past, which is kind of depressing. It's kind of like watching 2001 A Space Odyssey now.
Yeah.
We're all getting old. And if you like this movie and you want a little bit more time travel film that's like great time travel film, David's not going to agree with me completely, but right now, Looper,
the Time Traveler's Wife. Oh,
get out of here. Looper is on sale on iTunes. It's only $7.99 right now. That's like almost the cost of like to rent it. So you can just own it forever in HD. Great movie.
If you love telekinesis movies, this is going to be right up your alley.
Just shut your mouth.
A ton of telekinesis, a little bit of time travel. Stop
hating on it.
I don't hate it. I think it's a good movie. I just think the third act pivoted the wrong way. That's all.
Third act is wonderful. All great movie. You're really hating on it.
I don't hate it.
You're wrong.
I love the director. I love the actors. I loved the movie. I liked the movie.
I'm just really not appreciating the hate you're putting down for this film. Go watch Looper.
No hate.
Go watch Looper, then tweet hashtag Looper decision or hashtag... Oh, no. Just we'll do one. Hashtag Looper good or hashtag Looper bad. And then you can we'll see which gets more hashtags, and then that will be the winner. How's that sound?
Okay, all right. I'm going to hashtag Joseph Gordon-Levitt's eyebrows. That's what I'm going to hashtag.
That's going to take a lot of characters. You're only going to have like 40 characters less. That's a
short tweet. Yep.
Good luck.
If Looper ends up not being the type of time travel movie you were hoping for, and if it ends up focusing a little bit too much on telekinesis, check out The Time Machine with Guy Pearce or The Time Traveler's Wife with people in it that I forget, or any other time travel movie like Hot Tub Time Machine. I didn't see it, but...
let's go ahead.
That's another one you could.
I've heard people talk about it, so yeah.
I've never seen it. Anyway, well, thanks, Skylar.
Dude,
I think that's a wrap for us.
It's been real.
We'd like to thank Michael J. Fox. I also want to mention that this episode is sponsored by those billboards that you see that say "Outfoxed" with a picture of Michael J. Fox. It says Parkinson's disease. We're sponsored by that organization. I don't recall their name at the moment.
And despite some of the bad mouthing that we've been doing, FanDuel.com is back on board. They've been going through some hard times, so they want to remind people that just because they're being investigated by the federal government does not mean it's not a great time to get on FanDuel.com. And I found an interesting lesson. If you type in FanDuel, D-O-O-L, it will still take you to their website. So
yes, it does.
They're really planning on some real idiots still wanting to play weekly fantasy sports and give them all their money. Because, guys, newsflash, they're making money on this whole thing. So you do the math.
Their lawyers wanted us, when we shouted them out as our sponsor, they wanted us to make clear that an alleged crime is not the same thing as a committed crime. So just keep that in mind. Nothing has been proven. It can still go on.
And to be fair to them, that is true. So with that in mind, David, is it time?
Yeah, it's time.
Hold on to your butts. Dude, I'm fully committed to this from now on. I'm just going to do it.
I love it.
No more questions asked. Okay. See you later.
See you, man.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.
David, why are you always so right? I like that.